Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text 28. Dhyana,
Dhyana.
Nishto,
Nishto.
Virakto,
Virakto.
Va.
Madbhakto,
Vanapekshaka,
Salingan,
Asramam, Chakva,
Chared,
Avidigochara, Jnanenishto
Viraktova,
Madbhakto
Vanapekshaka,
Salingana Samams Chakva, Charet Avidigochara, Jnana Nishto Viraktova,
Viraktova,
Madbhakto Vanapekshaka, Salingana Samams Chakva, Charit Avidigochara, Jnana Nishto Viraktova, Madbhakto Vanapekshaka, Salingana Samams Chakva, Charit Avidigochara, Jnana.
To philosophical knowledge.
Nishta,
dedicated.
Virakta, detached from external manifestations. Va,
either.
Madbhakta,
my devotee.
Va,
or.
Anapekshaka,
not desiring
even
liberation.
Salingan,
with their rituals and external regulations.
Asaman,
the duties pertaining to particular statuses of life.
Chakva,
giving up.
Charet,
one should conduct oneself.
Avidigochara,
beyond the range of rules and regulations.
Translation.
A learned transcendentalist dedicated to the cultivation of
knowledge and thus detached from external objects,
or my devotee who is detached even from desire for liberation,
both neglect those duties based on external rituals or paraphernalia.
Thus their conduct is beyond the range of rules and regulations.
Translation, everyone together.
A learned transcendentalist dedicated
to this cultivation of knowledge
and thus detached from external objects,
or my devotee who is detached even from desire for liberation,
both neglect those duties based on external rituals and paraphernalia.
Thus,
purport.
This verse describes the Paramahansa stage of life, in which there is no further need for rituals, external paraphernalia, or rules and regulations. A completely realized jnana yogi, pursuing liberation, or beyond that a perfect devotee of the Lord, who does not desire even liberation, has no further desire for material engagement. When one completely purifies the mind, there is no possibility of sinful behavior. Rules and regulations are meant for guiding those who have a tendency to act in ignorance or for personal gratification. But one who is perfect in spiritual consciousness can move freely as described here by the Lord. One who tends to drive a car recklessly or who is unfamiliar with the local road conditions certainly needs the discipline of elaborate road signs and police enforcement of traffic laws. A perfectly safe driver, however, is thoroughly familiar with the local road conditions. He has no real need for the enforcement officials or the speed limits or caution signs meant for those unfamiliar with the road. Pure devotee of the Lord does nothing except service to the Lord. He automatically fulfills the purport of all negative and positive injunctions, which is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. One should not, however, artificially imitate the exalted position of a Paramahansa devotee, for such imitation will quickly ruin one's spiritual career. In the previous verses, the Lord has elaborately described various rituals, paraphernalia, and disciplines for the various spiritual orders of life. The sannyasi, for example, carries a tree danda and a water pot and eats and lives in a particular way. A Paramahansa devotee, having completely given up all attachment and interest in the material world, is no longer attracted by such external features of renunciation. This chapter, of course, is entitled The Description of the Varnashram Dham. And specifically, in this chapter, what has been spoken of is ashram. Who is this? Narada Muni speaking? Or is it Krishna speaking? Who can remember? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said. Yeah. So it is Krishna speaking, actually. So there's some authority, but Krishna speaks directly. So he has been describing the ashram. And in the ashram, there is spadama. In a varnashram dharma, we have the varnas, of course. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, and each one has a svadharma, and the ashrams also have their svadharmas. Svadharma means specific rules and regulations, just specific to that order. There are general rules for everyone, but also in vana and ashrama there are specific as well. Of course, there's Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is our eternal Krishna consciousness. Eternal dharma, eternal occupation. The svadharmas may change according to our nature, according to our purification, according from one life to the other life. Someone may be Vaishya one life, may come Kshatriya Brahmana in next life, or even in this life. If one follows and is blessed by the mercy of those higher, one can even, and if one has nature, one can even go to other ashram. Or vana. So these things are temporary and specific whilst one is engaged in that particular, one is in that particular category. Now it is said that to live in the world, vanashrama charavata, that to live in the world generally one has to follow this vana and ashrama. Vanashrama charvata purushena parapama Vishnu adadjite pampa. Vishnu is nanyatukta shakananam. Vishnu is pleased and satisfied when one it follows vana ashrama. And it's recommended to follow just nicely what are the duties of the brahmana. What are the duties? You may be in the brahmana, you may be in the vaishya, you may be a grihastha, you may be whatever your situation. You have to, there are specific vidhis to follow. Mentioned briefly here in Srimad Bhagavatam by Narad Muni and by Krishna. Narad Muni, he talks about these things we can read in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now we're reading here in the 11th canto, but Krishna himself is speaking about different vana and ashram. So one has to live in the world following that. This is the direction of the Shastras. And one has to follow that to the best of their ability, but without being attached to the result of the activity. It's clearly said by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. You have a right to do your duty, but you have no right to the fruits of the actions. So this is the secret of life in the world. You do your duty and unattached. You do your duty to the best of your ability. The results you leave to God. When we become attached, that brings us the misery, that brings us the suffering. We're working so hard. And actually, in Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada talks about the weakness of heart of the conditioned souls. There are two weaknesses of the heart. The first weakness is we come and we want to lord it over the material world. This is the first weakness of the heart. The conditioned souls, you and I who are conditioned in the world, we want to lord it over. Everything is, we see everything as somehow or other meant for our sense gratification. And control. We want to control and have the sense. And the second weakness of heart, as described by Srila Prabhupada, is that as we go further in developing this desire for control, to lord it over, we want to possess more, and we become very attached to it. This is the second weakness of heart. So due to these weaknesses of heart, one becomes more and more entangled in the world. Therefore, the Varnashram system is meant to gradually elevate us and to elevate us from these weaknesses of heart. Lording it over, controlling, possessing more and becoming very attached to these things. So each specific varna and ashrama has certain duties. Grihastha has certain duties. Sannyasi has, and this is also part of varna and ashram. We've been reading about the sannyasis and the, isn't it, the vanaprasthas, what they should do. Of course, this is in the ancient Vedic age that they have to go to the forest. Vanaprasthas is such severe austerities. Why? Because they've come out of the grihastha, which usually means some sort of indulgence in gratification. So to become a little detached, to purify themselves, they have to undergo severe tapasya. And generally, one starts off, one can go alone, leaving the family, or one can go with the wife together. You see in India, in so many places, in the holy places, the husband and wife, the elderly husband and wife, they're travelling together, all the holy places, and they're quite often by foot, walking. Or sometimes they take a bus if it's a long way, but when they get to the holy, they're going by foot. But many I've seen by vanaprasthas, many they're just travelling by foot everywhere, all over India, walking. And sometimes the temples are high in the hills. I know, I've been to them. They're high in the hill. I went to one temple that had steps like they were, looked like they were made for giants. One step is so high, next step is you have to practically climb on the steps, not walk on the steps. And then in the top, I remember speaking to the priest there. Why is it so high? Such big steps and so many. It was like a famous for, I forget the name of the place, famous for the so many steps you have to go up. Many, there's many temples like that. So, and he's saying, yes, it's purposely made like that. he said, it's purposely is made like that because that, you are supposed to make some endeavor to go to the temple. And one is supposed to, relieve oneself from especially the mode of passion and ignorance. So to go up the steps high in the hill takes a lot of energies. And then when you get to the top, you're so tired that you just surrender to God. So it is made like that. Practically, you don't want to go back down. You just want to stay there. Oh, that is good. Finally, sweating, and you know, generally in India it's so hot and you have to climb a big, so that is great tapasya, or you have to go deep in the forest. So we read about that tapasya. So vanaprastha life is specifically meant for tapasya. Now our Krishna conscious movement is a little bit different from this of the ancient Vedic concept where, and the sannyasis also would just go with the loincloth or just with coping or sometimes with nothing wearing. Now, in the modern era, because Hare Krishna movement is a preaching movement, if I would say I'm sannyasi, if I were to go on the Swanson Street with just a coping, I don't think would be very appreciated by the authorities. They have not got the advanced understanding of what Varnashrama is. But because we are preaching movement, we cannot go naked with just the dunda and the water pot in the Swanson Street. Maybe you can do that. You know, maybe you can try to do that, but they will come and lock you away and throw you in the jail. They don't have appreciation for these things. So Prabhupada said that in the modern era is a little bit different from the very ancient times. Therefore, one has to understand these things. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, therefore, it is very important to understand these things from the present gurus. The gurus in the past were presenting according to Kala, Patra, time, place, and circumstance. And now the gurus are presenting to time, place, and circumstance. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, therefore, in one sense, although guru is one presenting same knowledge, but for us now, it is more important to follow the gurus of now. Because they are presenting the same knowledge, but according to the Kala Patradesh, according to time, place, circumstance. I remember of a Prabhupada walking and one devotee was wearing no shoes. He said, I know you're all chagis and yogis, but because we are preaching, the people will not appreciate you just going with no shoes barefoot in the city. They'll think you are just some low class person. So you have to wear the shoes, you have to dress. You know, there's one injunction that the sannyasi shouldn't wear any sewn cloth. No sewn cloth. Nothing sewn. Just a wrap. Lord Chaitanya, of course, he would just wear and throw it like this. One cloth. And here also is mentioned, I think here there's reference to the sannyasi just travelling with the danda here, the tree dandi sannyasi is mentioned. Tree dandi, of course, our Vaishnava sannyasis. We add one extra rod. There's the three, if you look in the sannyas danda. There's three rods plus one. Three rods means mind, body, and one is jiva. And of course, there's a little one. This was added at the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This means signifies an axe and is meant to chop out the upper sampradayas. This is from the time of Srila Bhakti. He added the little. You see our ISKCON sannyasis, but we have, since the time of Srila Bhakti Sanna, he introduced this one. So, in the ancient times, of course, sometimes the Ekadanda sannyasi, from the Sankara school, just one rod, land water pot, walking, just with coping, no shoes, and just walking like that. But Prabhupada never instructed our ISKCON sannyasis to do like that. He said, your austerity, he said, will be you are travelling and preaching all over the world, Krishna consciousness. But this age, this is your tapasya of the sannyas, travelling and preaching. But anyway, in this chapter, Krishna is speaking of the traditional Varnashram system. He's talking about the sannyas and the Vanaprast and the Grihastha. We read about the duties of the Grihastha and the duties of the Brahmachari. Also has certain duties, Svadharmas. Brahmachari. Generally we have same, but also different for the Brahmachari to the Grihastha, a little bit different duties. Brahmachari has to study, has to be very humble in front of the Guru, and so many instructions for the Brahmachari. And then of course, as I mentioned, the different Varnas. What is duty for the Brahmana may not be specific duty for Kshatriya or Vaishya or Sudra. And now what is spoken of here today is Paramahamsa, someone beyond Varnashram. This is a very rare position. Generally, everyone is following Varnashram. But then if one becomes so detached, as mentioned here, he has cultivated the knowledge, here is referred to as the Jnana Yogi. By careful cultivation of knowledge, perhaps he is studying, maybe he is following Astanga Yoga with Yama, Niyama, and he's done all that Pranayama, maybe he's doing like that, maybe he's following that part, and Asana, and all these Pratyahara, Dharana, and Jhana, and then finally he has reached the Samadhi. So he is beyond. For him, there's no need of rules and regulations. He is actually freed from identification with the material body. All these rules and regulations are meant to help us become freed. Just like if someone, say you break your leg, then you have to have in the plaster and you have to go on the crutches. Why do you have to have in the plaster? And Mahatma Prabhu can say, to help the healing with the bone and everything, that keep in the place, isn't it? To keep in the place, you have to have the plaster to help with the healing. So too, we are meant to come up through the Varnashram. So all these rules and are meant to keep us in the place and assist us with the purification and elevation to the higher position. But once one attains the higher position, just like, let's say you break your leg and the bone is broken, then you have to have the plaster. But after it's healed, will you still need the crutches? No, I want to keep the crutches and the plaster for my whole life. And the doctor says, but your foot is healed. You don't need any more. So you don't need any more. Once it's healed, that's it. You don't even think of crutches. You don't even think of plaster. That's gone. Now you're just walking. You understand? So this is position of Paramahansa. Hear the word Paramahansa. Very interesting. Hansa means the swan. Paramahansa, that's the transcendental swan. So the Hansa, is different from this. There are different types of birds. And I think in the Bhagavatam, is it mentioned that the swan, the Paramahansa, and then there's the crow. What is that verse? Na yad vachas chita padam hareya, so that verse. Na yad vachas chita padam hareya, so jagat pabitam praginita kaya tadba shantiritam shantiman. Na yad taham shaniniraman ishikshaya. Those who don't listen to the glories of the Lord, or the words glorifying the Lord, those places where those words aren't used, these things aren't going on, then those places are considered by the Paramahansas to be places of pilgrimage for the crows. The swan is a very beautiful bird. No one will argue. Very beautiful to look, very graceful, likes the nice lakes, beautiful flowers, nice trees. But there are another type of bird is the crow. And it is said in Kali Yuga, actually, that as Kali Yuga progresses, there'll become less and less other birds and more crows. We're seeing, actually. In India, we're seeing. In this country, also, we're seeing. More crows. So a crow is not the same type of bird as the swan. Even the sound of the crow. Ah, ah, ah. Who likes? Does anyone like, ah, 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 ah? Oh, well, you want to go away from that place. Ah, ah, ah. And where does the crow like to go? You don't see, if the crow goes over the lake and is just looking for the dirty thing. Generally, the crow likes to go in the rubbish, in the dirty areas. This is the crow. So this is that. So someone who has got a crow-like mind, instead of the swan-like mind, that's the person who is absorbed in the material life. He is not following a vana and ashram. Vana and ashram means to elevate. He is crow. He's just interested in so many things of the world and absorbed. He is not following vana ashram. There's one story, actually. This story is actually from the Gita Mahatmya. And there was one Brahmana, his name was Jada. But he was not following the Brahmana's life. He didn't follow any of the vidis or the rules. He didn't do any study. He didn't do any yajna. He didn't do any worship. He liked to gamble. He liked to make a lot of money, gamble. He liked to drink a lot of wine, go hunting. He was a Brahmin, he was going hunting after the animals. He's supposed to be Brahmin. And going hunting, and he was elderly, and he was visiting the prostitutes. His name was Jada. So one time he went on a business trip. This was, he was living in the South India, and he went on the on a business trip in the North, and he was away a long time, many months. And when he went there, he made a lot of money. As he was coming back by foot. And as he was coming, the day came to an end, it became dark, and he just found himself in a very desolate place, isolated place. And no one was around. And so he said, oh, now it's dark. Tomorrow I will start again. Tonight I will just take rest under this tree. But unbeknownst to him, he was being followed by some dacoits, some thieves. They had picked him. Oh, this man, he has got some money, for sure. So they were following him. And they were just waiting for him to go to the empty area. And so when he went there, he slept under the tree. They came and they beat him and they killed him, took his money, and went away. But after some time, his son... Now, his son was not like his father. The son was very religious. Actually, he was a devotee of Krishna. He used to go every day to the Krishna temple and do kirtan, study, and read Bhagavad Gita every day. And do the worship, everything like that. Every day in the temple and at home also. And he was a very, very religious man. But he became worried about his father because for many months he didn't come home again. So he decided, I will go look and go the same way that he went. So he was looking and he was asking, did you see my father in the different villages like that? No one had seen. Finally he came across a man, yes, I knew your father. He used to come sometimes here, I knew him. But unfortunately I have some bad news. He was killed by some of the dacoits. So the son, of course, was very mortified and very sad. What can be done? He decided to go to the Varanasi to do the pinda for his departed father. Do something for his brother. So as he was going, on the ninth day of his travel, he happened to sleep under the same tree as his father, who, after his death, because of his sinful activities in his life, had become a Bhuta. Ghost. He was a Brahmana, but he became a Bhuta because of the sinful activity. And he was living in that tree. The Bhutas like to live in trees. As well as everywhere, but they like to live in trees. So he was staying, and the son happened to come and that night stay under that tree. Now, as it was his custom, every night the son would do his worship of the Lord. He would have kirtan, he would have some prayer, he would have some ritual, and then every night he would read Bhagavad Gita. That was his custom. Every day he would do that. So as he was doing, and then as he finished Bhagavad Gita, all of a sudden he heard loud sound. And then he saw effulgence in the vicinity of the tree. A very effulgent, shining form was there with the beautiful features, forearm, and that person started to talk to him. I am very glad you came here. Actually, I was your father. And just by you doing the kirtan and reading Bhagavad Gita, doing all these things, I've been blessed by God. I've been freed from my sinful reaction of being Bhuta. Not only that, but see what I have become. So the son was very amazed and very happy. Oh, father, is there anything I can do for you more? Sir, no, I am happy, the father said. But if you want to do something more, he said, my brother also was very sinful and he passed away some years before. And he is suffering in the hellish region. And also some of our ancestors are suffering here and there, some in different species of life. So when you go back home, there's no need to go to the Kashi now, because the goal of what you wanted to do has been achieved. So you go back home, and you go every day to the temple, you do the kirtan, and you pray for all our ancestors. Pray to God. So the son was very happy. Just at that moment, Vaikuntha Vimana came. Plane from the Vaikuntha came, and the Vishnu Dutas were there. They took the father inside and they took him back to the Vaikuntha. Then that son was watching everything. He was very amazed. So he went home and he did that. He every day, And as he was doing, after a few days, he was thinking, actually, why just our ancestors? I will pray. Let me pray for all the sinful living entities who are suffering in the hellish condition. I'll pray to God like that. So just at that time, Vishnu, residing in the Vaikuntha, he heard all this. And he decided to reward his devotee. So he sent some Vishnu duties to the Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the personality in charge of having to meter out the justice to the sinful living entities. So the Vishnu duties came there, and he was very happy to see him. Yamaraj is a great devotee. And he paid his obeisances, touched their feet, and they said to him, Lord Vishnu has sent us, and he wants you to release all the sinful entities who are here, who are going to be punished by you, and he wants them all to be released. So Yamaraj said, oh yes, he is my master, whatever he desires, I will do that. But one thing, can I come with you back to have darshan of Lord Vishnu? So they agreed. In the meantime, everyone was released. So then Yamaraj went back to Lord Vishnu, and he paid obeisances and made many prayers. He saw Lord Vishnu was surrounded by many devas and rishis, and even Lord Brahma was offering prayers. And then he said, I have done as you wished, my lord, and all of the sinful living entities have been released and actually have been liberated by your mercy. What else can I do? Because there is no one there now. So Lord Vishnu says, oh, you are the great Yamaraj. I don't have to instruct you about your duty. You are knowing that very well. But you go back and resume your service. I very much appreciate your service. You are a good devotee, and I appreciate your service. And don't worry, in time some others will come there, because so many living entities are not all becoming devotees. So Yamaraj, he paid his obeisance and he went back and resumed his service. So after some time, Lord Vishnu thought that they have all been released, but what about the son? He's been offering prayers, he's been doing such, he's been his whole life. He immediately sent some Vishnu duties in a Vaikuntha Vimana. They took him, even before the end of his life, they took him, and he went back home, back to Godhead, to become an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a nice story from Gita Mahatmya. One who was formerly supposed to be the Brahmana, but didn't follow anything. The other one, the son, he followed nicely. Both father and son were liberated by the activities of the son. Came to the topmost position. This is the real liberation. Here it is mentioned that the devotee, who is also in the Paramahansa position, devotee who is perfected, is also Paramahansa. There is one who is the yogi, or the jnana yogi. He can, by a strict following of yoga practice, can come up to Paramahansa. And there's also the devotee. But the devotee doesn't like the moksha of the Brahman moksha or anything like that. The devotee wants to go to Krishna. And some jnana yogi may want to go just Brahman platform, or, you know, if he's very fortunate, may have the mercy of the Lord. But devotee Paramahansa is considered on higher platform. And he is under the shelter of Krishna. He is always protected by Krishna. He has no need to worry about anything or fear anything. Whereas the jnana yogi has to try very hard to go along in his practice. But the devotee, very easily by the mercy of the Lord, makes advancement. And Prabhupada actually gave a nice example in this regard. He said one time there was one of his female disciples, she had a little baby. She was getting out of the car with her baby, struggling a little bit with her baby. So Prabhupada said, you know, there are different animals, and they carry babies in different ways. He said, for example, there is the monkey. The monkey mother carries her baby generally on her back. And then there is the cat. The mother cat generally carries the baby, the kitten, in her mouth. Which one do you think is better? Which way do you think is better? Which baby do you think is in a better position? The baby monkey or the baby cat? Who can say?
Baby cat.
Why?
Because it doesn't have to do any work. This mother is cat, whereas the monkey, baby monkey has to hold the monkey.
Yeah, very good. That's exactly correct. The baby monkey, he's just a baby, but has to hold on to the back of the... And the mother's jumping here and there, can fall off very easily. Some of you may have seen like that. The baby monkey, by his own strength. So the yogi, by his own strength, is trying to advance on the path. And after many years, maybe perhaps many lifetimes of practice, can perhaps come to the samadhi, perhaps even leave this world, bring up the soul through the different chakras and leave from the top of the head and go beyond the world by his own strength. But the mother cat carrying the kitten doesn't have to worry, she's just lying in the mouth of the cat. The cat's just carrying everywhere. There's no question that the kitten's going to fall out of it. So the devotee is like that. Always under the protection of Krishna, and Krishna himself, it is said, takes personal charge and comes to take the devotee back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada said, yes, the cat, the kitten in the cat's mouth is in the better position. And that is like the devotee who has taken shelter of Krishna. So someone may come to the Paramahansa stage. And therefore, we can understand, because there's no need of any rules or regulations. One is just totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But to get to the Paramahansa stage, one has to follow, unless one is Nitya Siddhar, come to the world and Mahabhagavat from the very beginning. That is a very rare soul. But generally, everyone has to follow these rules and regulations. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we are following certain rules, and we've got our brahmacharis and grihasthas and vanaprastha sannyas, and we're engaged in different activities. And our Krishna consciousness, we have our rules and regulations. Maybe not exactly like the ancient Vedic times, because Prabhupada has adapted. He has given these things according to the modern time. So we are following these things. And by following and going along the path, and by good associate, by chanting, and by very good association. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that along with the chanting, two things, chanting and sadhu sangha, have to go together. The power of the association of the devotee. It's so nice and so easy. It's so hard to chant Hare Krishna, to eat prasadam, to go in the kirtan, to listen to Bhagavad Gita, whereas you see the yogis have to do extreme tapasya, but the devotees just are very nice. So good, it's a very good association. One has to always keep good association. One has to try to avoid the bad association, because by the good association, one is transformed from the lower to the higher. Or by bad association, you can come from the higher to the lower again. Do you want to hear a funny story of Prabhupada told? Prabhupada told a funny story in Maipur. He was taking a massage. And when he told the story, his stomach was moving. He was laughing. He said, do you want to hear a funny story? He said to the... So maybe you'll like, maybe you won't like, but do you want to hear? And he said, oh yes, Prabhupada, we want to hear. And so then he said, one day one man went to the field for passing stool. And then after passing stool, he stood up and he looked down at his stool in disgust. And then, to his surprise, the stool was looking back at him in disgust. And the stool spoke to him and said, what are you looking at me like that for? And then he said, you know, yesterday, I was a beautiful gulab jamun. And by the power of your association, look what I've become. The Prabhupada said, yes, the power of association is very important. One can go down, and one can come up. So someone making the gulab jamun so nice, association to become the gulab jamun. So we have to become the gulab jamun, full of juice, just like if you squeeze it, so much juice comes out. Not dry, like dry chapati. Sometimes those who are practicing the tapasya become very dry. Like, who wants to have the dry chapati? But the devotee is often being compared to the sweet gulab jamun, with full of juice of nectar. The more you squeeze, it's like an unlimited nectar gulab jamun. The more you squeeze, the more comes in. So someone who is very advanced, the more association you can have, the more nectar comes out. So one has to become gulab jamun, paramahansa. But here there's a word of caution, that one can't just jump immediately to paramahansa. Don't try to imitate. There is a difference between following in the footsteps and imitate. Following in the footsteps, we see the great devotees, and we have to see what they did to obtain that platform and follow that. Not we see the great devotees and we just immediately jump and try to do that. After they've spent many years within 1 week we want to go there. So here it is said, this will ruin, like if one artificially jumps like that. I remember there was one devotee years ago when he was in Mayapur. He was just chanting like Haridas Thakur locked up. And he was living far away, just by himself. When Prabhupada was told, he wasn't very impressed. Tell him to do something, he will just be sleeping after some time. He is not Haridas Thakur. He has to do some practical service. Then, gradually. So we have to be careful not to artificially try to go to the Paramahansa or to the high rasa, Madhurya rasa, Gopi Bhava, Radha Bhava, Manjari Bhava. This is all for high level. Just like our acharyas in our line. And even Lord Chaitanya was very much he was in Radha Bhava, experiencing the love of Radha, but he was actually many occasions exhibiting Manjari Bhava. And actually all our acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava are in the Manjari Bhava. But that is a very special category. You know, Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Sanatan, Rasa Manjari, Gilas Manjari, Jiva Goswami, all of the acharyas are actually Manjari. That is very high level. We can't just artificially imitate Manjaris or something like that. Now all of a sudden I want to be Manjari Gopi. Or, you know, and then try to act like that. No. First of all, you follow the rules and regulations, chant very nicely, control your mind, and become purified. Then, automatically and very naturally, this will be bestowed upon you. Love of God comes from Krishna. Prabhupada had told us that. One time the disciple asked about that. Prabhupada, how does a devotee attain the love of God? Prabhupada one time he answered in this way. He said, that is Krishna's business. For you just have to follow what is the rules and chant Hare Krishna mantra. He said, when you are ready and God is happy with you, he will bestow upon you Krishna prema. If one has to try very hard to attain, then he is not on that platform. Because that is given by God. Understand? So if you have to try very hard, that means automatically we can understand you are not. Because someone actually on that platform, very spontaneously he's feeling, without any effort, he is feeling the love of God. And that is given by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here, very nicely explained, Paramahansa, what is the position. And in the next few verses, we'll read what is the mentality of the Paramahansa, how he sees things and so on. So Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Has anyone got a question they'd like to ask or a comment they'd like to make?
Does Krishna give spiritual masterpiece?
Look, Prabhupada specifically said that is given actually by Krishna. Krishna prema, that is given by Krishna. But of course he can do via guru. Yeah. Or as he likes. So he, in that answer he said, Krishna is giving. That is God's business, he said. Your business is to follow. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Was given specially for the Kali Yuga.
Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes. And now, still in Kavita, we are seeing that we are not even able to follow these instructions which is given in the heart of Kavita. In Kavita, we are not able to follow
this. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to follow them. No, the Srila Vyasadeva, out of his kindness, saw that, he saw the Kali Yuga is coming, how the people will understand Veda. Let me divide Veda into different sections for the different types of people. Then let me make short stanzas of the Vedanta Sutra. Then even that he thought, I will not understand. Then let the Mahabharata, the stories, then the commentary on then Srimad Bhagavatam. So many instructions are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita. And it is said that one should try to follow these things. But it is possible for the people of Kali Yuga, but only if they take up the process of the Krishna consciousness. To follow the rules and regulations of the Shastras as far as what we should be doing in our life. It only be possible if you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Because by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, you will get the strength to follow all these things. Otherwise, how are you going to follow? No one can follow these things. Even the simplest things, no gambling, meat eating, even the basic things that Prabhupada said makes us different from the animals. Humans should be different from the animals by doing these things, following these things. But no one can follow. That why? They're not chanting Hare Krishna. So first of all, Prabhupada said for the masses, we give them Hare Krishna mantra, we give them prasadam, let them get the higher taste of what is this thing, and when they experience, then very easily they'll be able to follow these things. So first thing, we have to give them Hare Krishna chanting. Is that right? And maybe everyone will not be able to follow, but at least some will be able to follow. So for those people, they are very fortunate. And others who are not able to follow, then they will, by hearing the chanting, by some association, gradually, they will come up. Any other questions? Yeah, we'll go to Silver Prabhupada. Gold Feminine.